teachers off duty. In case you haven't been super familiar with us before, my name is Rebecca Rogers. I'm R Rogers World on all social media.
I'm Mrs. Woolley in fifth on all social media, Lauren Woolley. I did that backwards.
That's why I was looking at you.
I looked for a second. I was like, wait, what?
Maybe it's the sun. The sun got to my head.
I'm Bree, Honest Teacher Vibes on all social media platforms.
That sounded so enthusiastic.
I was thinking about
Lauren. She was like, I don't want to mess up my name like Lauren did.
I was thinking about Lauren Sunburn, and I feel bad for her.
Listen, guys. Let me just, a short PSA. Okay, if you go to Typhoon Lagoon,
put on sunscreen.
Don't be like me.
Hey, if you're black, put on sunscreen for real, because we can get a sunburn. And I did not know that when I went to the Florida Keys for a week. Everybody was like, "You need to wear sunscreen." And I was outside at the beach for like maybe 4 hours, and I was like, "Black, like confidently, black people don't gotta wear sunscreen." Man,
no!
I got back to the hotel. I was like, man, why my arms kind of sting? I got in the shower and I was like, dang, did I get stung by a jellyfish or something? And then like an hour later, I was like, oh my God, I can't move. I'm in pain. They was like, Bree, you got sunburn. I was still like, black people don't get sunburned.
I was 100% confident that I was not going to get a sunburn yesterday. And I don't know why this is not logical at all. I was like, it's a little chilly today.
Oh gosh.
Like that affects the UV rays from the sun.
Oh gosh.
So when I got back to the hotel, and I noticed my arms, if you're watching the YouTube video, my arms look like straight up crab legs. So just dip me in butter and crunch me up. I look like crab legs.
Delete that
and
part.
Then luckily
I don't think she can be dipped in butter. Delete that part.
But like my face, my forehead got all red and my nose got all red. But luckily my foundation covered it up, and I just put like a ton of bronzer on.
Cause so, you're like, fine, girl.
You look so
fine
pretty.
Fine as wine.
Yeah. But like if I took off like the sleeves of my shirt, I have a straight up V from really? Where my bathing suit was.
As
so
like
yeah,
another,
it's not looking good.
As another mayonnaise-y white person, it like gives me a lot of anxiety looking at your arms and just being like,
it actually does not hurt that bad. Like my hands look worse than anything
else.
As
a black person who has been sunburned, I feel your pain. I'm in pain for you. Anyway, this episode is sponsored by Bottle.
We
love Bottle, y'all.
Bottle Learning.
It is a gamified learning math platform.
It is amazing. Honestly, I started using it with my students. So it can be used as a website or an app. And honestly, we started playing it on our phones. And it's cool because you get to make your own little character.
That is so cute.
And their head is shaped like a little bottle. And then they gain knowledge points by completing various math tasks. And the knowledge points go into their little head and fills up their head. And I'm like, it's such a cute concept.
Yeah.
My favorite part about that is like how the little avatars, like the characters are kind of transparent. So you can see into their minds. And the idea behind it is like what's important is what's inside your brain. And I think that is the cutest thing ever.
I love
the idea of Bottle too, because like you can use it to help prep for, say, testing.
Mm-hmm.
You can, like, if you have a substitute teacher, it's like easy sub plans.
I love easy sub plans. I'm gone all the time.
No, she don't. But some of the it's state standards, Common Core standards aligned.
K through six.
And then you can use it for remediation and enrichment. And those students that you have that finish assignments really fast, you can use it as a fast finisher assignment.
And the great part about it that I love is like it's incentivized. So they will play through these math tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And if they hit like a streak of completing three problems correctly, they get to spin the wheel of prizes. And then you get to earn. I know. I feel like it needs like its own little like jingle.
The wheel did that.
Ready?
The wheel of prizes.
No, that sounds ominous. That sounds like bad.
No, I'm saying ominous. Look at you using all these big words today.
Go again.
Okay. The wheel of prizes.
I didn't know what he was doing. So anyway, shout out to Bottle for sponsoring this episode.
Check that out. It's free for all parents and teachers. Go check it out and use it in your classrooms. It is amazing.
Shout out to Bottle.
Mm-hmm. And again, like you guys were talking about, it's really centered around state standards to cover all of the topics that students really need, which is great for what we wanted to talk to you guys about today.
Don't make me do it.
Which is
I don't want to talk about it.
State testing.
I don't want to
ones I'm going with. I ain't gonna do it.
The absolute bane of my existence.
Listen, I have state testing this week. We did our ELA testing last week, and it went well. I was actually very surprised. And then this week we have our math testing. So,
so what does,
for bottle. I'm gonna be using that on Tuesday.
What does state testing look like at y'all, like at the elementary school level and at the middle school level? Because I know it's completely different from high school.
Y'all take exams.
Yeah. Because final exams for high school can either be teacher made or state made. It just depends on the course. Sometimes, and it also depends. Like sometimes it's an EOC, like an end of course.
Right.
Sometimes it's like an NCFE, which is a North Carolina final exam.
Don't be throwing all this alphabet soup at me.
Okay. I'm like, hold on, that Audi acronym. I can't keep up. I don't want all that acronym.
It's a lot. But what does it look like at the lower level?
So for elementary school, depends on what grade level you teach. But like I teach fifth grade, and fifth grade is tested in reading, math, and science.
Why not social studies? Why is it a hater?
Don't blame me. I didn't grade the state test.
I'm very upset about this.
Listen, I don't know, man. But there are certain grade levels, at least in Ohio, there are certain grade levels that are tested for different subjects. All grade levels 3 and up are tested for reading and math. But so what we do is like we have a 2-part test for each subject. Mm-hmm. So for language arts, they'll take part 1, and it's usually like 15 to 20 questions and then an essay question that they have to write. And then part 2 is usually just more questions. But it always stresses me out. Like
state
I cannot,
stresses me out.
I don't know why, like the whole school year, like I know exactly what I'm teaching to make sure they're prepared for that test and I'm fine. Yeah. But then like the week or two before state testing, I go into panic mode
where I'm like, it's the jam all of this into your brain right now. 100%. It's the lack of control that we have because so much is placed on us for state testing. Mm-hmm. And then if the kids bomb or they don't do good, they're like, hey, did you teach this standard or did you?
Why does it always seem like these tests are created purposely to trick students?
I can't stand
that. Well, I don't know.
Does anyone else feel that way?
I don't know how it works like with the other grades, but I know at least for when it comes to like the NCFEs and the EOCs,
a lot of the questions, I already told you, I'm going to say the cuss word.
That doesn't mean we're going to remember.
Well, so for the final exams,
Thank you.
At least how it used to work is that different teachers from around the state would add like a question, and it was really weird. So, like for example, in world history, Zoroastrianism is a religious religion that you spend very little time on.
I don't think I've ever learned about that on the state exam.
Always on the exam because like the idea is a teacher's like, oh well, I spend a lot of time on it, so I know my kids are gonna get that right. So I know that my
that
kids
seems
are gonna
a little
do
biased
well.
To have them create the test.
That's like really extra. My least favorite. So middle school, they you know state test in math, science, and English. This is the part about state testing that stresses me out. One, the fact that they come in and Christmas tree the test, like they just come in and mark answers. But two, it stresses me out because there's literally nothing to do while they're testing. You can't read. You just have to walk around the whole time.
I've never understood that.
Oh, I remember something. We were having this conversation a little bit before we started this episode, and I remember you saying you would count the ceiling tiles.
Count the ceiling tiles.
Listen, like I remember you saying you were joking and saying there were like 28, and I was like, I wonder how many are in my classroom.
But did you go count your
ceiling tiles? Like
last week when we were taking the ELA test. And I'm pacing around the room in the circle that I pace. And there were 113 ceiling tiles in my room.
You have a big room.
I did not expect there to be that much.
Your classroom is big.
It is. It's like elementary rooms are usually pretty big just because you have a lot of...
Because middle school rooms are extra medium. I'm like, if admin put any more kids in here, y'all finna be sitting on the ceiling.
Probably.
So, talking about your kids Christmas treeing a test, so I have a few stories for state testing. So one of them, for when it comes to the world history final exam, the kids are given a few hours to complete it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at my first school, it was all done on the computer. So they have to like sign into like the state, whatever. It's all on the computer.
Right.
And I gave instructions, I had them start, and I kid you not, in less than 1 minute, a kid closes his laptop and like raises his hand and is like, okay,
I'm done.
Didn't
you have a kid do that?
Oh my God. Can I interject?
Yeah, Lauren had a kid do the exact same thing.
Hold on, go ahead and finish your story and then I'll tell mine.
You're good. I asked him, I walked over and I was like, what are you doing? He goes, I'm done. And I'm like, why are you done? And this kid, he's like, oh, well, I don't really like school anyways, and I don't really want to take this test. So I just went A, and I was like, why would you do that? No, I just, I don't, I don't understand.
And then why are we held accountable? Let me look straight at the camera. Dear admin, okay, this is a letter to admin. Why on Al Gore's internet are we held accountable for them kids' test scores when they come in on the day of the test and mark C all the way down, mark A all the way down? I asked the kid one time, I was like, hey, we took a practice test. He made like a 12. I was like, hey, bro, come here. Did you try? I was like, just tell me the truth. I'm not going to be mad. You know I was mad. I'm not going to be mad, though. Just tell me the truth. Did you try? He was like, nah, Ms. Richardson. I'm like, why
you ain't trying? Listen, okay, so my student... this is only my third year teaching fifth grade, and the first year, like, I taught, we were in quarantine, so state testing was eliminated. Yep. Last year, we had hybrid learning, so I had a student that had been virtual all year, and they had to come in to physically take the test. He comes into my room, and I had, the three kids that were virtual sit at my front table. Mm-hmm. Everybody else, like, I passed out their little testing tickets. They had their Chromebooks ready to go. They got on the secure web browser, and I was like, okay, once you type in your login info, do not touch anything.
Bro, they don't ever listen.
They don't ever listen.
They typed in the login info, and 99.9% of my class did not touch anything. But that 0.1%...
Is that 1% that gets you?
He logged into his test, and then he clicked end test. And I was like, he was like, I tried logging in and it won't let me take it. And I was like,
but I'd be lying too.
I looked at him. I was like, what did you do? And he goes, well, I and you know how he was like babbling. And he told me he clicked end test. I was like, why would you do that? I said, don't touch anything. And that includes the giant red stop sign at the top of the test.
Don't you know that when you give instructions, it doesn't apply to him?
It doesn't. So we had to call the state and have them release his test.
Call the state. Hello, Ohio.
We literally... Hi, Ohio.
I released that test, big dog.
This is Lauren Woolley. Don't be mad. But
right.
So they had to release his test and have him come in another day to take it. But I was like, you've got to...
Free my test.
Free my test. I don't get it. Don't touch anything. Touch everything.
You know what stresses me out about state testing too? I don't know if it's like this at the elementary level, but middle school, if you like, it's a proctor in the room and a like testing like assistant person or whatever.
I don't even get a testing assistant.
So it's just you and everybody yourself? No, we can't do that. So middle school, you have to have two people in the room at all times. You got to have a proctor, which is a certified teacher, and then you have an assistant, which is normally a TA or another staff member. If you have to go to the bathroom as the certified teacher, you cannot step a foot out your classroom door until another certified teacher steps in. Like, you can't step one foot out in the hallway and say, it stresses me out, because they're like, if you step one foot out of your classroom without the other person being fully in your classroom, your test is invalidated. I'm like, Mississippi, y'all doing 90 and a 50.
Like,
okay,
that's really kind of extra. Thing.
Bottle is a completely free grades K through 6 gamified math platform that aims to unlock students' confidence to learn, tackle learning gaps, and provide enrichment with gameplay that kids absolutely love. With over 1.5 million registered users, Bottle wants to help make teachers' lives easier by saving them time and fostering a growth mindset in kids inside and outside of the classroom. Bottle Learning can be used for enrichment and reteaching stations, rotations, test prep, early finishers, reducing test anxiety, extra practice at home or in the classroom. There's also Google Classroom integration, which allows teachers to post their Bottle assignments directly to their Google Classroom for easier access. It's easy for substitute teachers to easily and quickly implement, and can easily link parents to student accounts so they can follow along with the progress. Visit bottlelearning.com to learn more, or you can download it on both iOS and Android.
I like have two things I want to talk about. One was another story, and another was something that is going to absolutely blow your mind.
Okay.
What do you want first?
Blow my mind first.
Okay. So, and again, like, it's still constantly changing because it's just a proposal, but North Carolina might be changing entirely how they pay teachers. Mm-hmm. And if I'm if I understand it correctly, I think part of it might be based off of test scores.
What you mean?
So there's now...
I hate this already.
Okay, you know, I like it.
And again, like, it's constantly changing. Like, it's just a proposal. Like, a lot of teachers are really upset about it.
Right.
But they're completely scrapping the way that teachers are going to be paid. And there's now, like, two different categories. There's teacher and almost teacher, right?
What's an almost teacher?
What the heck does that mean?
It's because they're lowering the standards of, like, the requirements that people would need to be in the classroom because they think it's going to fix the teacher shortage issue.
But what's an almost teacher, though?
Let me take a guess. So an almost teacher is like me on a Monday at 7:50 before I had coffee. I'm an almost teacher.
Okay.
And then once I drink my coffee, then I'm a teacher.
Okay. I'm an almost teacher when them kids get on my nerves and I'm about to snap. So I'm an almost snap teacher. Okay.
So. Oh, no. So within the teacher and almost teacher, there's three categories. Okay. So almost teachers are people with associate's degrees. Like, they don't have a full, like, teaching license.
Oh, we were
they
so
haven't
wrong.
Taken all their tests.
We was wrong.
Like, it's really, like, lowering the requirements of what you
so
need
you can,
to be
it,
in the classroom.
So you can be a teacher and you got an associate's?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm,
because they're trying to fix the teacher shortage problem and they think this is the way to do it.
That would have been nice if I would have known that and I wouldn't have spent, $40,000 on the bachelor's degree.
So also in our state, like, there's no master's pay anymore. Like,
No,
bro,
there's
not.
Why are y'all disrespecting teachers
like
that?
For years. It's been that way for like almost a decade.
But okay, so the almost teachers and the almost teachers get paid less.
So, like, so within the almost teacher category, I believe it goes from 40 to 45K a year.
And the almost teacher.
Yes. And then teacher
literally titled almost teacher.
I don't know. Big dog. Is that the name, fam?
Like, when I look at it, I'm like, it's almost teacher and teacher.
So you're giving these categories names.
Yes.
So okay. What kind of proposal? You are almost teacher, fam. You ain't even no real teacher.
And they have to also, I believe, if I'm correct, because again, I'm not an expert on it and it's constantly changing, I believe they also have to be paired with a teacher. Thing.
Bro, don't put nobody with me, okay? I'm already stressed out. I ain't got no
but
time.
Teachers within the category, right. There's three levels of, I think it's 45, 50, and it's either 55 or 60K. But where you are in the tiers within the category, I believe is going to be based in the proposal is going to be based off of student, parent, and admin evaluations.
Bruh.
And test scores.
Bruh.
Hold on a second.
Right?
So y'all really trying to hate on teachers
but
like
I be with
and
the flattery
no
all the time.
Like, you're either one of the three salaries. Like, no more getting
absolute
paid
foolish.
Based off of how many years you've been there. It's all, like, you're either one of the
three. Okay,
but this
so
hasn't
I
passed
know,
yet. This is just
no,
a proposal.
I think it's just a proposal.
I know, like, college professors are ranked by their students. Like, we do evals of different professors when you're in college.
There. They want to be there.
Right, but here's the thing. Those are adults
right.
giving other adults evaluations.
Right.
You're asking me to get evaluated by a 10-year-old
and a mama
Come
who
on.
Already
yeah.
don't like me.
Right.
Well, right.
No. I don't like that idea.
And what's really interesting is they think that's how to fix the teacher shortage problem. Let's just, like, lower the requirements to be a teacher.
They be skating
and, like,
around the problem.
Everything.
They be skating. They like them admin. It's like, we going to bring y'all donuts and juice to boost morale. And it's like, every time you say boost morale goes down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen,
that's a negative phrase.
I got a surefire way to end the teacher shortage.
Okay.
Two things. Okay. First, pay us more.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Not and based I'm off not, of test scores.
I'm not trying to make like $200,000. I'm not a surgeon.
But pay us
right.
more than.
Pay us more than. I like my first year teaching, I made $33,000.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that. Come on. How am I supposed to live off that? And then second of all, please respect me enough to know that I know what I'm doing.
Thank you. How come everybody is an expert on teaching except for the teachers
right.
in the class?
You know what always, you know what I found lately, and it blows my mind, because whenever like I see people lately in comment sections that are like hating on teachers,
they do it all the time.
And I ask, well, if teachers didn't teach this or if they didn't try to teach that, do you think teachers pick the standards?
Yeah.
Were you under the impression that teachers pick the state standards that get taught in schools?
Right.
The ones that we get evaluated on.
Yeah.
The ones that our admin are coming to the class, making sure, is your standard on the board? Are you teaching it to the class?
What
are you doing what the state tells you to do? And then
speaking
we
of,
get
I
in
get
trouble
observed
for
tomorrow.
What the state oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, bless.
Oh, yeah. I messaged my principal. I was like, hey, I'm in Florida.
That make me nervous when they come in and observe.
Can I do this maybe
can
like
do it another
the
day?
Next
is it a formal or informal?
Oh, formal.
Oh,
yeah. Can we take formal. A rain check?
I know. So, yeah, I got that going for
you
me.
You know, you got to talk to your kids before you get observed. Hey, don't act how y'all normally act.
Yeah, you bribe. Okay? You bribe the hell out of them.
Don't act how y'all normally act. But state testing is just like, it's so.
Well, speaking of bribing, we actually incentivize our state test too. So like at my school, we try to make it like, I don't want to say fun, because I mean, I'm honest with the kids. I'm like, guys, this is not going to be
interesting today.
Well, I'm honest with them. I'm like, this is not going to be the most fun thing you're going to do all year, but it's something we have to do.
Right.
So like what I do, so a couple of weeks ago, I actually went into school on a Sunday and I decorated the entire hallway. Like we do the whole like
you're
donut
such
stress.
You're such a good teacher.
No, I'm kidding. No, but we do like the donut stress, just do your best kind of thing. And so I like put all these cute little streamery like donut things all down the hall. I have like donut banners and I got big inflatable like donut balloons and put them all over and got them like donut squishies and donuts from really Dunkin' and stuff. So I try to make like the actual event itself like something to look forward to. But then my PTO actually does like an incentive like raffle. So each day of the test, the kids can earn up to 4 tickets. They get one for attendance, one for like effort that they put in, one for behavior after they were done taking the test, and then I forget what the fourth one's
That's
for.
A good incentive.
But yeah, they get 4 different tickets, and at the end of all of the tests, they'll throw all the tickets into a raffle, and they can win. Listen to this: they can win AirPods.
Oh,
they can win a digital or not a digital camera. What's the Polaroid camera? Wow. They can win a remote control robot. They think they had like 2 other like fidget bundle type things, like the actual fidget prizes that
and
I was like, okay, those
be
are pretty
with
good.
This. Fifth graders awesome. Be rocking with this.
Well, how about one of my kids goes, I already have AirPods and a robot and fidgets, and I was like, Glenn, here's what you can do.
Okay,
get the AirPods and sell them and make yourself $100.
Do you ever feel like okay? So do you ever feel like because we, you know, as a sixth grade team, we would read the state like the Case 21 test, which is what we take in Mississippi, the benchmark test. I feel like some of those questions on there, one, I feel like the questions try to trip the kids up on purpose.
Oh.
Two, those passages, why do they make us and harp on the fact that we need to teach things that are relevant and engaging for the kids to help them want to engage and learn in that particular information? But then y'all get them a passage on Marie Antoinette. They don't even know who that is. And the wording and all that stuff that's in the text, our kids have a huge word recognition problem. They have a huge phonics problem. The stuff that we teach in during class, the realistic stuff, the state test is like,
it's so off.
No, yeah.
So off. Yeah. Our state test, like it was, I remember my intervention specialist who helps out with all of the grade levels testing said like one of the passages the sixth graders had was ridiculous. It was it was like from the perspective of, I'm going to like change it a little bit so it's not the details, but it was like from the perspective of like a pack of donuts. Like it was really, what? It was really off the wall, like something weird like that. And then like for art, I'm like, a pack of donuts.
I'm not donut kidding
stress.
You.
I'm not kidding you. And then like they'll always use like, okay, we know as teachers to teach the standards using multiple different words that mean the same thing.
Right. Yes.
So like, for example, if I'm teaching main idea, I'm also going to be teaching central idea as the same concept.
Exactly.
Or like subtopics as key details and so on. Right. They're going to use like something other than central idea or main idea. Like they'll say like controlling idea and try to throw the kids off. And
the
I'm
kids
like,
what the heck is that?
We ain't learning that. Why are you doing that to them? Like
they did that to our kids for a narrative writing. So we do like the first 9 weeks we teach narrative writing. The second 9 weeks we teach informational. Third 9 weeks we teach argumentative writing. And then the fourth 9 weeks we just review. Narrative writing is supposed to be the most like simple one for them to do because it's from their perspective. Like it's pretty, out of all the writing, is the one that's the most simple. Mm-hmm. Bruh, they gave us the prompt for the Case 21 narrative writing before we gave it to the kids.
Right.
Like they gave it to us like 2 days before. And what the way that they taught us to teach them narrative writing and a breakdown, a writing prompt, bruh, the writing prompt for the narrative writing was like the most outlandish thing. Even the teachers, we were like, if we're grown and we got bachelor's and master's degrees and we read pretty consistently, we read multiple novels a year, and this don't make no sense to us, What do you think it's going to do for Twitter? It was like, it was like, write a narrative essay on the perspective of like a monk and his like him like traveling through the city, write it from his perspective during that time period. Like it was
about Buddha.
We were mad, y'all. We were mad like as an English team, we were like, hey, this is not even the past K-21. I'm like, our kids, and across the board, sixth grade, none of them did good. Like across the board, because the writing prompt was so confusing. Even if you teach kids that.
Something I pride myself on it, and like I think I do relatively well, is getting them ready for testing writing. Mm-hmm. So like we call it on demand writing.
Yep, that's what we call it. Yeah.
And so I started that back in January, and we took our ELA test in the beginning of April, but I physically teach them a format of how to set up an essay,
right,
and give them like two different theses, mm-hmm, to use, whether it's for an opinion writing or for, right, an informational text. Mm-hmm. And we practice, like they know on Fridays they hate me because every Friday you're writing an essay, right, and it's gonna, you have 40 minutes, go.
But do they tell y'all not to use a formula?
They do. But
I hate
listen,
when they say that, because I'm like, how are you supposed to teach them writing? How to write?
How are you supposed to teach them how to write if you don't use a formula?
Because that's what our teachers did for us. Like, right, you had your introductory paragraph, your three body paragraphs, and your conclusion paragraph.
You're not supposed to teach like a formula writing at all?
I don't understand why they say that to us. Because every teacher does it.
That doesn't make any sense.
Because they want them to be free thinkers, and like, I agree with
that. That's fine, yeah.
But like, there's a time for free writing, and there's a time for academic writing where you need to know how to do this.
But while they're learning, you have to teach them. Because
there was
no
say,
way.
Here you go. Right. Like, they're going to be lost.
They'll be doing 90 and a 50.
But my kids, when they took the test, I was like, because I obviously, as a proctor, you can't say anything to them while they're testing.
Absolutely not.
I'm pacing the room, and I'm just kind of like watching over their shoulders. Mm. And every single one of my kids wrote a 5-paragraph essay. And I was like,
don't you love when you teach them something and they actually do it? And you're like, I'm so proud of y'all.
I know. And that's like, and that was after really I had the worst week ever.
Yeah.
And I was like,
thank you.
Like, I was like, okay, this is why I do it.
I'm curious to know what Becca's story was.
Yeah.
Well, I have to be completely honest. For a second, I really zoned out because I was fighting the internal urge. Since you said the word ridiculous, I literally was fighting the urge to grab a pencil and be like, ridiculous.
Oh, but, my God. Okay.
Cut that. Delete that part. Delete it. No! Cut that part out. That was
so literally. I like had to tell myself, "Don't do it, Rebecca."
You should have did it.
You
should
have did it. You can't say that right now because now the trend on TikTok is like the weird Voldemort. It's the Voldemort one.
I literally like, and all of a sudden I came to, and you guys were talking about like Lauren's kids doing really good, and I was like, "Oh yay!
Becca,
well,
did
now
you take
Becca's right
ADHD
down to earth.
Did you take your ADHD medicine?
No, I don't have any.
Oh, I got some.
I need to. I need to. But anyways, I'll tell you the story. Okay, this is let me get situated in my chair. I gotta cross my legs.
I gotta get ready to tell a story.
I have to like get all prepared.
She has to prepare her body to tell the story.
Because it's, you know, do you remember like months ago when we were trying to figure out like America's best friend? I've decided my name is now America's storyteller. Look at
that's
that.
That's cute.
Look at that. I love it. I came up with it while I was zoned out.
I feel like you need to, because you know, on your TikTok, you have a fidget with you when you tell a story.
Yeah.
I feel like for the podcast, you should just whip it out from. So
here's my story, guys.
So what does that make me? America's rat in the corner? Like,
say that. Why you don't do my friend like that, because she ain't no rat. I'm sitting over here looking like a burnt chocolate chip. So don't do my friend like that.
So I'm ready. I'm ready now.
Sorry, we get sidetracked.
No, you're good. I recrossed my legs 3 times.
Okay,
I'm good now.
We appreciate it.
I think it was last spring, mm-hmm, right? It was the first spring that kids were able to come back to the building.
Right.
You know, from March 2020 onwards until last February, mm-hmm, kids were completely virtual.
Right.
So, like, some kids had the option to come back if they wanted to in February, mm-hmm, and then state testing was, like, in May, right? So, we'd only been back for a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
My kids, like, all of my classes were still online, but I was still help proctoring tests for the in-person kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, because we just got back to the building, admin was super big on masks. Like, the kids have to wear them. If you don't enforce it, like, that's your head. Like, we're not going down and going to get in trouble because you don't want to enforce these rules. Like, they really drilled into us. They kind of scared us about it a little bit. Because we can just
make kids do everything all the time.
Right, like, they're going to, they're teenagers, think we can do that. Right? Like, they're going to listen.
Not even my 10-year-olds. Like, man. People think we can just force kids to do whatever we want.
So I was proctoring for a bunch of random kids. Like, I'd never met them before. Yeah. I had no idea who they were.
Yeah.
And then we had, like, a testing number to call if anything went wrong. And so during this test, and it was, like, 3 or 4 hours.
Like,
the state
or, like, your principal?
No, like, our testing coordinator.
Okay.
So I had 3 kids in a total. I think I had 18 kids in the room. 3 of them just wouldn't keep the dang thing on. It kept coming completely off, like not even just below their
just
nose, just
pops off their head.
And I went up to all of them. I was like, hey, they said this could count as a misadministration if you don't put it on. Like,
The test could count as a misadministration?
Right. Like they might have to leave and come back and take it or something like that.
Because they wouldn't keep their mask on?
Yes, because they weren't allowed to be there in the room.
North Carolina sounds fun.
Y'all be tripping, man. They ain't never coming to North Carolina.
At least maybe I'm crazy. I don't know. They made it seem like the kids would have to leave, and then at least they would have to come back and take it. But I was like, y'all, like, you have to keep it on. We're all going to get in trouble. Like, please, it's just a couple hours. Right. You've been doing this since February.
Right.
Wouldn't do it. Like, literally every 5 minutes, these 3 kids kept just pulling them off. So I called down to testing center. They were like, oh, well, there's nothing you can do. Well, okay, as long as you have it documented that I'm trying,
you and told you. Mm-hmm.
I got reprimanded by my admin, who was walking by and was like, I see you have multiple kids that don't have on a mask. I said, I've called down to the test site at least 3 times for 3 different kids saying, I just want it documented that I'm trying.
Admin be worried about everything except for what they need to be worried about.
Right. And I'm like, I've clearly tried. Well, you didn't try hard enough.
Sir, would you like me to staple it to their head?
Like, I don't.
What do you want me to do?
That'd be when I be about this. That's when I'm about to get a write up.
I'm done.
So on that note, thank you for joining us for this episode of Teachers Off Duty, sponsored by Bottle, a gamified math learning platform.
Go download Bottle Learning. Even if you're an adult, you will love playing this
game. It's fun. It is fun. Right. It's like Farmville, but math.
Like, yeah, I got a plasma TV in my house already.
Those who know, oh my god,
her
those who know
house.
Me know that I don't math at all, and this is like, it's fun. Like, yeah, it's cute. It's really cute. Like, it I is. Might learn math.
Make I'm sure. Excited. Sorry, I'm going to cut you off. Make sure that you guys check out our merch. Also, it's coming out or it's out. I can't remember.
Show me your shirt. For those who have video.
Oh, sorry, this one is. It says teach.
This
I love
one
it.
Just says teachers off duty.
But we have other ones that will be coming out also, and they're super cute. So make sure you check that out and follow us on all the social medias. We love you guys. Bye,
you guys. Bye, my lovelies.